الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كثر سواد قوم فهو منهم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected brothers and elders, it is human nature that from time to time this human being wants to express joy, happiness, he wants to celebrate. This is human nature. And Islam being a deen which is a natural deen, it has taken into consideration every need, every natural need of this human being. So when this is a natural deen, it is not possible that it will not take consideration of this need of the human being as well, that he wishes to express his joy, his happiness, he wishes to celebrate. And indeed, Islam and Shariat has given us those occasions to celebrate. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, and he found the people observing certain days, so he asked them, what is this all about? So he said, this is something that has come to us from Jahiliyyah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has replaced you with something better. The day of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So this celebration has been given to the mu'min, that not just that it has been made permissible for him to express joy and happiness, in some ways he has been compelled to celebrate. For example, in these days, in the days of Eid, the Ayyam al-Tashriq, it has been made even haram to fast. He may fast in the rest of the year, but on the day of Eid, it is haram for him to fast. فَإِنَّهَا أَيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ It is the day of eating and drinking and rejoicing. So these are things that a human being gives expression to his joy and happiness in eating good food, etc. He has been encouraged to do that on the day of Eid. A human being gives expression to his joy and happiness in the form of good clothing. When the day of Eid comes, he has been encouraged, wear your best garments. Not necessarily new, but the best clothing you have, wear that. So express your joy and happiness. But while on the one side, these modes of expression of the joy and happiness have been given to the mu'min, his celebration is something else. His celebration in itself is a means of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala all the time. When the day of Eid comes, this is something which everybody observes, perhaps experiences as well, that somehow the excitement of Eid is more on the eve of Eid, the night before the day. And when that night comes before the day, when there's greater excitement of Eid, here is the day of his celebration. And on this night of celebration, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man ahya laylatay al-Eidain lam yamut qalbuhu yawma tamut al-qulub." The one who will keep these nights alive, the night of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, his heart will not die on that day when other hearts will be dead. So the night of Eid, when the excitement is at its peak, he is engaging in even more ibadat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The day of Eid comes, the morning of Eid comes, he has been encouraged to wake up even earlier than normal. And then take a ghusl, etc. And now the day of his celebration has come. Daily he was going for 5 salah. The day of his celebration comes, he goes for an additional salah. A means of getting even closer to Allah Ta'ala. Daily the muazzin was calling him for the 5 salah. when the day of his celebration comes and the additional salah has come, he doesn't even need the muazzin to call him. He comes without any azan. He is going to the Eid salah and he is engaging in takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. In the takbir and tahmeed and getting closer to Allah Ta'ala all the time. When he gets to the Eid salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that these are my servants. The day of Eid has come. ثُمَّ خَرَجُوا يَعُجُّونَ إِلَى الدُّعَى. They have now come and they are engaging themselves fervently in dua. It's a day of dua, which takes him even closer to Allah Ta'ala. So while the mu'min celebrates by all means, he also has food and drink. He also wears his best garments. He will meet his relatives, etc. He will express his joy and happiness. He will have the excitement of Eid, but his celebration is something that takes him closer to Allah Ta'ala. So a mu'min also celebrates, but a mu'min's celebration is a means of getting the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. And on the contrary, we find that generally, the celebrations of those who are deprived of Iman, generally, here the mu'min eats and drinks and gets closer to Allah Ta'ala. On this side, the person eats and drinks and gets drunk. And sometimes he gets so immersed in his drink that he then doesn't know the difference between his wife and daughter. He doesn't know the difference between his mother and sister. And the lines between a human being and an animal become so blurred that it becomes difficult to distinguish. Had it not been for the physical outward form, you might not sometimes know where's the human being and where's the animal. When the time for the celebration comes, and the season of celebration comes, it takes them, let alone far away from other things, even it seems like even basic human intelligence also goes to a certain extent, that generally they call it even the silly season. Nobody likes to be called silly. If a person is addressed, that why are you being silly, he takes offense. Here it's referred to as the silly season, so to say that now it's a time to celebrate, it's time to become silly. When the time for celebration comes, then how do they express the celebration? Common knowledge, common information that everybody has. People will be throwing objects from high-rise buildings and others will be getting injured down, and to the extent like people throwing fridges from high-rise buildings, which is all things that we have heard about. So there are two completely contrasting pictures. One is the celebration of a mu'min, the other is the celebration of those who are deprived of Iman, and there is absolutely no relationship between these two. Now, as far as the celebration of those without Iman is concerned, they will continue doing what they want to do. In their so-called silly season, they will become silly if they want to. And the person will eat and drink and get drunk if he wants to. That is something which is beyond our control, generally. But what is within our control, and what we have to ponder about, is how do we conduct ourselves in other people's so-called silly season? That is what we need to ponder about. They will do what they need to do, or what they want to do. That we can't unfortunately do anything about. But what we need to do is ponder about what is our conduct, what is our response in that time of the year. Before getting onto that aspect itself, one thing that we must keep in mind, that there are two distinct aspects. One is, how do we treat the rest of humanity? How do we treat even a Yahudi, or a Mushrik, or a Christian, or even an atheist for that matter? That is one issue. And the other issue is, how do we conduct ourselves when it comes to their functions, their celebrations, aspects of their aqidah and belief, of their practices and ways, of their customs? That's a separate issue. As far as the first issue is concerned, Islam and Sharia has given us very clear guidelines. The time doesn't permit to go into these details, but just to take one example of the Quran Kareem. A person's parents are mushrikeen, idol worshippers. Not just mushrikeen, but they are insisting upon him to also commit shirk. How does a person treat those parents who are insisting upon him? They are putting pressure upon him that you must also become a mushrik. He has accepted Iman and Islam, but they are pressurizing him to accept, to come into shirk. The Quran says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That if these parents pressurize you to commit shirk, then don't obey them in that. You cannot obey them in anything which transgresses the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But in the same breath, Allah ta'ala says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That treat them kindly in the world. If it's a neighbor, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. That neighbor or that traveling companion, that neighbor who might be a relative or he might just be the person living next door, he might be the worst atheist, he might be a mushrik, he might be a Jew, he has rights. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, there's the incident about one Jew was living on the upper story, but they didn't have the kind of slab work that we have nowadays, and the person's sewerage was somehow falling into the house of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he wasn't even aware of it. And when the time was nearing, when Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very ill, and he feared that perhaps soon he might leave this world, he called the neighbor one day, and he told him that, look, this is unfortunately what is happening. I have no problem with this. Every day I clean it out. I haven't mentioned it to you for years. But if I have to pass away, somebody else might come. Perhaps they might respond in a different manner. You might be perturbed by their response. It might give you taklif. When this person realized what was going on, he became totally bewildered at this treatment of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it is mentioned that he even accepted Islam on that occasion. The treatment of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the prisoners of war, those prisoners of war at the time of Badr, themselves state that we were treated like guests. So this is a completely separate issue of how a person will be treated. He's a neighbor, he might be a family member, he might be some friend or acquaintance, somebody working with one. How he will be treated is another issue, and we have been given clear guidelines that the person will be treated not just with adal, not just with justice, but with ihsan as well. And as I said, time is limited, but just to take one incident, let alone the examples in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the lives of the Sahaba, that is far beyond what we can even enumerate. But in the lives of his very latter-day servants, the latter-day servants of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one example, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi was once traveling in a train, and one Hindu walked into the toilet of the train, and the speed at which he went in, he came out at a faster speed. He barely went in and took a U-turn and came out. When Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi observed this, he immediately realized what happened. So he quietly woke up, went into the toilet, and after some time he came out and he told this person, now you may go and use the toilet. When this person went in, who? A Hindu. He went in and he found that the toilet absolutely clean. He came back and said that if I stay longer in your company, I might accept Islam. So this is the treatment of others. But while we have been taught how to treat others, at the same time, Islam has given us clear guidelines regarding our aqaid, regarding how we conduct ourselves with the functions of others, the celebrations of others, their ways and customs, their traditions, their habits. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. Don't even incline towards those who have oppressed themselves, and the greatest oppression is shirk and kufr and disbelief. Don't even incline towards them. The Mufassirin state that this could not have been expressed in a more severe manner. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say don't participate with them. Don't join them. Don't incline. Inclination is something in the heart. A person can be sitting in his house and his heart can be inclined. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ Don't even incline towards them, or else you could be afflicted with the punishment of the fire of Jahannam. And the Mufassirin state in this regard that this inclination can be in the matter of aqaid and belief, can be in the matter of muasharat and social living, in the matter of akhlaq and the way that they conduct their character, in any and every aspect of life. A mu'min's inclination, his entire heart's direction will only be towards the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the Quran and sunnah. So these are two issues which we must not confuse. While he will be helping that mushrik, he will be doing it on the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and on the order of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his heart will not be inclined in the least bit towards the mushrik's aqaid, towards the mushrik's beliefs, towards his customs, towards his celebrations, towards his traditions, towards anything about him. He will treat him as a human being and he will give him justice and ihsan as well. But he will not be inclined in any way towards his things. So keeping this in mind, we need to now consider that when these celebrations, we are talking particularly about the celebrations now, when the celebrations of the kuffar come, how do we respond? Do we get involved in this in some way or the other? Do we support it in any way or the other? Now, in order to understand this, let us take one example so that we get it in the proper perspective. Just as an example, Allah Ta'ala forbid, supposing somebody was at war with us. Somebody is at war with us personally. And in the process of that war, one of our family members is murdered. But that person, that kafir or that mushrik, he is so elated and so overjoyed about this fact that he managed to kill somebody of our family, Allah forbid, that he now marks that as a day of celebration. He marks that as a day of rejoicing. And year after year, he gathers all his friends and family, and over time it starts growing, and they have a real feast and celebration and excitement, very exciting activities and very glittering things displayed all over the place, attractive lights all over the place, and firework displays, and the whole works. And year after year this goes on, and it keeps growing. And each time we see it, what will go through our heart? But as time went, our children came, then our grandchildren came, and now this has grown into such a major thing, and so much of excitement, and fun-filled activities, and those grandchildren come to us and say that we want to go and join them tomorrow. It's so exciting. What will this person say? He says, you don't know what's going through my heart. You want to go join them? You also want to poke daggers in my heart? You haven't seen that incident. You don't know what went on. Now this is just an example. If somebody is at war with us, this will be our response. Those who commit shirk and kufr and disbelief are at war with our Allah. And they are celebrating that shirk. They are celebrating that kufr. They are celebrating that disbelief. So if it is affecting us personally in terms of our family, how we respond, what should be our response when it affects our deen? When the war is directed towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in that perspective, we have to see and observe, and we have to think about this issue, that how should we be responding? To come specifically to these things, we find that generally these functions, these celebrations, are filled with ma'asiyat, are filled with sin, of various types, We don't need to go into those details. As far as these gatherings of sin are concerned, whatever the nature of the gathering may be, there's a whole lot of sinful things taking place, the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are being transgressed. No matter in what name that celebration takes place, or that function takes place, or who is conducting it, but when that function is a function where the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are being transgressed, and being deliberately planned to be transgressed, even if it can be taking place in the name of Islam also, then we have to consider this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that man hadara ma'asiyatan fakarihaha, فَكَأَنَّمَا غَابَ عَنْهَا وَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيَهَا كَانَ كَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The one who happens by chance to be at a place where some sin took place. By chance, he just was passing somewhere and something happened, and he observed it, witnessed it, but he totally detested what happened. He disliked it. Then in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, he's like he was never present there. But a person who was absent, he wasn't even there. He even came to know about it after the event, that certain thing took place, certain wrong happened, certain sin took place. And he expresses some kind of joy about it, some kind of happiness over it. Kana kaman shahidaha, he is like the one who was present in that gathering of sin, and like the one who participated. Now this is for merely expressing happiness over something that happened wrong. How much more serious will be the actual participation? How much more serious will be participating. Even our hearts must be filled with remorse when some sin is taking place. Our hearts must be filled with the hatred for that sin. One buzruk came out of his house, and as he walked out, his eyes happened to just fall on something happening, some sin taking place. One person was committing the act of adultery, and his eyes just fell upon that. And as soon as he saw this, he took a U-turn and came back into his house. And he came and he was so struck by this, what he saw, and so grieved by it, he came and lay down for a while, perhaps to regain his composure. And when he woke up after a little while, he had the urge to relieve himself. When he went to relieve himself, instead of passing urine, he started passing blood. He was so deeply affected by this, that it affected his whole physical health as well. And we might wonder that this is a very strange thing. No, all of us have experienced this. Generally, we have all experienced this feeling, but we have generally experienced it on a worldly loss. By and large, we have experienced it on a worldly loss, of some sort or the other. That feeling of loss, that feeling of grief, that feeling of sorrow, that feeling of pain, we have felt it. We know what it is, but we have felt it on a worldly loss. But for those whom the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have more azmat in their hearts, and are more valuable to them than this entire world, how pained they will be when they see the law of Allah Ta'ala being transgressed. So this is what is required, that let alone being present, even the heart must be filled with grief and remorse when the laws of Allah Ta'ala are being transgressed, or when kufr and shirk is being celebrated. Then, sometimes a person says that, I didn't participate, I just was watching, I was just there. In this regard is the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum, aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who adds to the numbers of a people, the one who adds to the glory of something that's taking place, fahuwa minhum, he is among them. Supposing some function takes place, something happens, whatever it is, and there's 10,000 people present. So that becomes a major item, that there were 10,000 people present. That becomes the yardstick of the success. So many people present. Now 9,999 people say, we were just there, we were just watching. We weren't participating. So if those 9,999 people remain behind, they will say it was a total failure. Only one person came. So the yardstick of the success was, who was watching? And here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum, the one who adds to the numbers of a people, he is among them. One buzruk one day came out of his house. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Shaykh al-Hadith writes this incident, that this Buzur came out of his house in India, very pious person, and it was that day of the year when the Hindus celebrate their festival, which in India up to today is celebrated, which they call Holi. And in this particular festival, one of the traditional things that they do is that they throw red coloring on everybody and everything. Whatever comes in their way, and whoever comes in their way, they color it red. So to say, paint the town red. Perhaps this might have come from there somewhere, wallahu alam. So, when this Buzurg walked out of his house, he observed people were carrying on in this manner. Everybody was coloring one another red. And as he stepped out, he saw one donkey standing by the doorway. So in a light-hearted manner, he, so to say, addressed the donkey. The donkey is not going to understand anything. As it is, when a human being also doesn't understand, they call him a donkey. Donkey for real way will understand. So he addressed the donkey and he said to him that everybody is getting colored today. How come nobody colored you? And at that time he was chewing a paan. Now anybody who is familiar with the paan knows that when a person chews paan, his saliva becomes blood red also. So he was chewing that paan and he addressed this donkey in this manner and said that how come nobody colored you today? Everybody's getting colored. Say, okay, let me color you. And saying this, he spat on the donkey. And he carried on, forgot about it, that was the end of it. When he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream. Now dreams, we have to understand, it's not shari'i proof as such, but there are dreams which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has explained. Some dreams are true, some dreams are baseless. If it doesn't contradict anything in shari'at and deen, then sometimes one can take a lesson from it, can take a message from it. Some dreams are true. So nevertheless, when this person passed away, somebody saw him in a dream. So they asked him, how did everything go? So he said, no, I was forgiven, alhamdulillah, for everything. But I'm being made to suffer as a result of one deed of mine. There is one snake which has been placed on my lip. And it is forever persecuting me and tormenting me and causing me immense grief and pain. And I was told that this punishment is that on what basis did you join my enemies in their celebration? So man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum, the one who adds to the numbers of a people, then he is among them. We find that many of these celebrations are religion based. Even though over time perhaps they might have forgotten what it started off with, but it is based in some kind of wrong religious belief. Now when that wrong religious belief is the basis, for example, the Christians celebrate Christmas as a religious custom, as a religious function, celebration. When January comes, the 1st of January comes, then people observe New Year's. What is this observing of New Year's all about? It started off with Julius Caesar. And it was established, January come is named after Janus. And Janus in their theory is Al-Iyazu Billah, the so-called God of Gates. The doorway of the New Year, so to say, is opened. So the God of Gates. In his name, this celebration is taking place. And this is being observed in that sense. Even if over time people have forgotten where it started off from. But this is its origin. So this is something steeped in shirk. Like that, we get various other things, various other situations. So, when these kind of occasions come, then that example should stay in mind what we discussed earlier. The issue about the war. If somebody is at war with us, what is our response? Here, this is a celebration, so-called celebration of shirk and kufr. This is a war with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what should our response be to this kind of war? So nevertheless, coming to the last part of our discussion, this is what we have understood, that this is the reality of these celebrations. What is the celebration of a mu'min, we have understood. What is the reality of these celebrations, we have understood. The question now is that what do we do? How do we conduct ourselves? Now some of these things, sometimes people might have engaged in it, but simply as a result of not knowing. So if a person has unfortunately somehow slipped up, the doors of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are forever open, person makes sincere tawbah, and that is wiped off forever, he doesn't even need to worry about it, once he has made sincere tawbah. But nevertheless, we have to now take the steps. The first thing in this regard is that we must not participate in any of these things, neither actively nor passively. Active participation is obvious. Passive participation, as we discussed earlier, person says, I was just watching. So what is he watching? He's adding to the glory of it, adding to the numbers of it. مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Then, among the ways that generally we end up adding to its glory, for example, the December month has come, so it's natural that this is a time when businesses are booming. There's no harm in that. That if a person has an opportunity to make more business in a halal manner, fine. But his increase in business must not be in any way related to any celebration of kufr and shirk. For example, a person is having a sale. So he can have a sale at any time of the year. It can be in December as well. But a mu'min will not have a Christmas sale, because he doesn't support it in any way. He doesn't add to its glory. If he is having a Christmas sale, then what is he adding to? Bring it back to the same example. Supposing that Christmas was the celebration of that person who killed somebody in our family, his celebration was called Christmas. Would we then host a Christmas sale? Or for example, the time of December comes, and the person is now giving his customers Christmas gifts. So what is he supporting? What is he celebrating? He's adding to the glory of what? Yes, by all means he may give his customers gifts, there's no harm in that. But rather give it to them at the time of Eid. That this is our celebration. Not only will he give the gift that he wants to give, but he will also be increasing the azmat of a shi'ar of Islam. He will be increasing the glory of a shi'ar and a distinguishing characteristic of Islam. So he can give a Christmas a gift at the time of Eid, at any other time of the year, but he doesn't have to give it at this time. Why support something which is being done in the name of kufr and shirk? So if somebody comes around asking, as it is often probably done, that where's his gift, so tell him, yes, our Eid is coming still. You come at the time of Eid, we'll give you, by all means, we'll give you the gift at the time of Eid. Then the other thing is, that one is, as we said, having so-called Christmas sale and New Year specials. A mu'min has no truck with these things. He can have specials at any time of the year. He can have a sale at any time of the year. But it's not done in the name of some celebration of kufr and shirk. Or some Easter specials. Or for that matter, Diwali specials. And as I said at the beginning, we must not confuse the two issues. The issue of treatment of the rest of humanity. We will treat the rest of humanity with adl and justice. We will go one step further. We'll treat them with ihsan as well. With kindness also. A person, if he is starving, and he requires food, and he is fed, even though he might be the worst atheist, but to feed a starving person, you'll still get your sawab for that. So that is a treatment, that is one issue. But let us not confuse that and think that that is now the so-called theory that all rivers flow into the same ocean. So all these creeds are all one, they all end up at the same end point. Nothing of that nature. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The only creed that will be acceptable in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is Islam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah ta'ala will never forgive that somebody ascribes partners with him. anybody engages in kufr, that will not be forgiven. So, this is one issue about not having these kind of sales. Then the other thing is, that a person does not engage in the sale of any items which are specific to these kind of celebrations. For example, person is selling the Christmas trees. This is an example. Or the time of Easter comes and he's selling Easter eggs at that time of the year. Or the hot cross buns, as they call it. Or fireworks at the time when it is being celebrated in that manner, where this has become an integral part of a religious custom and tradition. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah Ta'ala says, help one another in acts of birri wa taqwa, virtue and the fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not assist one another in acts of sin and transgression of the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So these kind of things a person will refrain from. Then, with regards to the passive participation, just one other example. Sometimes the person says, let's take a drive down to go and see the Christmas lights. Take a drive to town to go see the Christmas lights. So what is he seeing? What is he observing? Bring again the same example of the war with somebody. Somebody is at war with us, the time of his celebration has come to celebrate the war that he's having with us. And he's decorated the streets of the town. So we say, let's go and admire it. Or he's now hosting that function and a very thrilling fireworks display is taking place there. Let us also watch. Or for example, we already discussed this aspect of New Year's, what its origin is, steeped in shirk. It's named after Janus, the so-called god of gates. And as my Shaykh Hazrat Mawashah Hakim Mawad Akhtar Sahib Dan Barakatum says, that this January, the name itself, it's so close to January. Janwar means animal. So January seems like, for some reason, it's got a very close relationship with that. And therefore, when that New Year's Eve comes, many people in that celebration become like Janwars. You can't distinguish between human and animal if it wasn't for the outer form. The type of example that we discussed, what happens. So, many people will say, who have a little bit conscience of deen, that I won't go to the beachfront and observe all the things that are going on there. I won't participate in any of these things. But even many people who won't participate in that level, some of them too would sit. Generally by 10 o'clock the person can't keep his eyes open. But on the 31st of December, he is waiting also for the clock to tick and for it to come past midnight and to see the new year in. So the new year of what is he seeing in? Of the so-called god of gates? What is he adding some kind of support to? Yes, if the person is at that time staying awake because the concentration of sin has become so much that he is afraid that the azab of Allah Ta'ala mustn't come down. So he's staying awake to engage in more dua and istighfar and tawbah and beseeching Allah Ta'ala to save us from his azab. That's a different issue and that is something perhaps which we all should do. But to sit and wait for the clock to tick now, half an hour left and 5 minutes left and 1 minute left and now 1 second left and then to see you outside who's hooting and who's shooting and whatever else is carrying on. So what are we supporting and what are we engaging in? Yes, at that time it is indeed something important that we should be very afraid. In this entire time, it is a time to be even more engaged in dua, in istighfar, in tawbah, in the work of deen, in the efforts of deen. So that hopefully if this increases, then inshallah it will hold the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala back. Otherwise a mu'min, he is far away from the celebrations of kufr and shirk. Neither does he participate in it actively or passively. Neither does he add to its glory in any way. He doesn't add to its numbers in any way. While he will treat humanity with adl and justice, he will treat humanity with ihsan as well, with kindness also. But he he will also adhere to the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, that don't even incline towards those who have oppressed their souls by committing kufr and shirk, because he will be very afraid of the warning of Allah ta'ala, فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, or else you could be afflicted with the punishment of the fire of Jahannam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of deen, enable us to remain steadfast on deen in every aspect, in our aqaid, in our akhlaq, in our muamalat, in our muasharat, and in every single thing of deen. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us with iman, and take us with iman, and rise us with iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسولك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب